In any of those years that you finished runner-up, and how many times was that?
I can't tell you. Too many. I coached 32 years. I feel like I probably should have. Well, there's a couple of years we probably couldn't have won, but I feel like I should have won every year.
So
I was a failure if we didn't.
Did you ever maximize the effort and got the best out of them, and it was not number one, and went, okay, but I got everything I got. Everything those kids had, I got out of them.
We never got everything we had.
Even in a number one year.
Never.
Man, you're a hard man. You are hard and cold.
No, it's just a fact. You never you strive for perfection, but you can never achieve it. We always fell below what we were capable of doing.
If you had two golfers, though, one that you knew could not beat the other on an opposing team. I mean, right, if you finished second to that one, and even so, let's say I didn't perform my best, but I shot 5 under, I should have got 7, but they shot 30 under. I'm never getting there. At any point, is there ever one of those moments where you go, okay, I gave it everything I had, and this was the best result I could get? You're not going to let me have that, are you?
Well, I just always felt like we had more, Casey. Golf's a unique sport, though. It's really an anomaly when you compare it to others, because you
sure.
have so much time to think. And the best player in the world that ever walked the planet, I think, you could say Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus, you know, at that highest level. I think they won maybe 20% of the time or 18% of the prime of the time in their prime. That doesn't apply to other sports. A dominant player or athlete like that wins virtually all the time. So golf is a tough thing to get your mind around. You're dealing with failure every single round you ever play. There's no such thing as perfection.
So your leadership style, again, described as cold and hard. Here's what's interesting, though. I've been told in the last while, I don't know what time frame, you've actually shown emotion a couple of times. You hate it when I know people. You've shown emotion. Are you a different person you were 10 years ago?
Well, I'm sure. I've evolved every single day.
Are you a better person?
I'd hope. I hope everybody tries to get better every day. This job has forced me to do things that I'm uncomfortable with. And when you get out of your comfort zone, it forces you to grow. But I've always been emotional my whole life.
You're kidding. Well, wait a minute. Are you serious?
Oh, sure.
Kidding me.
But emotion and golf are golf at the highest level, mutually exclusive. You need to learn to control it. And for your players to learn to control it, they need to see lack of emotion on your part. You must radiate what you want them to reflect, and also how the kind of the peace of mind, the calmness inside where it really counts. So I always used to tell them, before you can deal with the demons inside, you must control what everybody sees from the outside, that facade, that body language, your facial expressions, what you say. And you want to reflect nothing but peace, calmness, confidence. And then what you're really feeling inside, once you can control the exterior, you have an opportunity to look within and deal with the real problems, the real demons, the real impediments to being successful.
You know where I just saw that the most recent, and you're not going to go here either, but and I've got this to talk about later, but you thanked Brad Underwood for what he did here at Oklahoma State, and I just went, oh, my lands. Did he really? I mean, this man just walked out and said they're not committed to athletics. They don't perform at an elitist level. I'm taking another job a year later, and I'm slinging mud as I go. And you looked at us, and you looked in that microphone, and I went, I admired you. I went, oh, I'm not buying it 1 ounce. But you thanked that man for his 1 year. Now, then you came back with the whole, what he left us was Mike Boynton, and that's a great thing, and I think you really meant that. But I didn't buy any of the other part. Inside, it was a little different.
You're telling me I'm not a very good salesman?
No, I think you're a fantastic salesman. Yeah. But the fact that you could stand there and say that, I just went, that's a maturity level I haven't reached yet.
Well, I meant it.
Seriously? Again, I'm supposed to believe that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Knowing that you didn't have a great appreciation for maybe some of the things, the way he talked to players, the way he addressed it, and some people have said I made too much of that. Because I have been very, very vocal about that. You were at practices. I know you know what was said to players. Am I making too much of that? That maybe that's not you're not supportive of that coaching style. Correct or not correct?
Well, I don't really want to get into individual coaching styles on the radio. I don't think that's going to be conducive to where – I don't think that matters in the grand scheme of things. Am I appreciative of the things that Brad Underwood did for Oklahoma State University in the year he was here? Absolutely. He re-energized our fan base.
He got the students
back in the building. He made basketball important to more people. He changed some lives on our team. I saw Jeff Carroll and Mitch Shelton and Devon Dillard, and I mean, I'll forget somebody, but I saw a change in them, and they elevated their games, which that's a byproduct of the changes they experienced as individuals. There's all kinds of successes to celebrate, and really, he did a lot of wonderful things. So, and then he surrounded himself with some wonderful people that gave us great options internally to solve this dilemma of a vacancy in our coaching, head coaching job. So, sure, I'll thank him for that. Why not? It doesn't do any good to say anything otherwise. If you don't have anything good to say about somebody, you shouldn't say anything.
And let me tell you, again,
my dad told me that all the time.
My mom did too, but you know what? My maturity level hasn't reached that point because this past week has been nothing but that. Okay, so let's move on. Coach Boynton. Let's hit some of the harder stuff. I've only got 10 minutes because you got to run, and I'm not even through the first half of the first page. So
lucky me.
Coach Boynton has coached with him for 4 years. He's seen what I've been talking about, those sorts of things, and he stuck with it, came to Oklahoma State. How is he different? How did he assure you that he was the guy with the right style to be the guy this time, now?
He didn't have to say a word. I saw it in word and deed on the court, around the players, and then I hear in our building how people talk about him, either within the basketball program, and that's primarily the players. That's the most important thing in our lives, your players. Mm-hmm. So you should pay attention to them. You should listen to them. I did. And then Mike Boynton's well-respected around the building. He's a known commodity, not a commodity. He's a person. So I don't really think we're taking any chance at all, any risk at all, on what kind of person is leading our basketball program. That gives me a lot of comfort. And I think those personal qualities, those characteristics of being a leader and a teacher and a difference maker and all that, he'll inspire our players. That's what coaching's all about. He doesn't know some of the intricacies. Big deal. He's got the most important traits, and I'll bank on those every single time. I think and I said this at the press conference, from Mr. Iba right through Eddie Sutton and all the coaches for all the sports at OSU in between, all the great coaches, to the point we are right now, the same qualities will succeed at the very, very highest level, and we have those in Mike Boynton. So I think we're in a good spot.